take your Bibles, please, and turn to Leviticus chapter number 23. Leviticus chapter 23, I'm going to give you the title of the lesson, and is this, Employment and Your Finances. Employment and Your Finances. Of course, we've looked at many, many aspects of finances, and we're going to talk about employment and your finances. Leviticus chapter number 23, find verse number 3. Leviticus 23, verse number 3. And once you find that, would you please stand, and then I'm going to read out loud, and you can follow along silently. The Bible says this, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So, the Bible here is telling us that we are to labor during the week, and we are to serve God on Sunday. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. If you want to turn there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And I'll read this. It says, "And that you study to be quiet, and do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we've commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing." Now notice, he's talking about working and working with your own hands. And then at the end of that verse, he said, "The result is that ye may have lack of nothing." In other words, you're going to work and earn, and then those finances are going to meet your need. All right? Let's pray, and then we'll get a little deeper into this. Father, bless us tonight. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you will do a work in our midst. I ask, Heavenly Father, that you would help us tonight to be better workers. Help us to understand a little more about the workforce, and might we please you in our behavior. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you can have a seat there. God very clearly tells us that we are to work and then earn money. It's a basic concept. Now, you say, but Brother Owens, everybody knows that. I'm wondering if our day and age people understand that. Now, that means our employment plays a crucial part in our finances. In God's way of thinking, no work, no money. And I realize there are little exceptions here and there to that. But for the basic mass of society, no work, no money. He said, you go to work, you'll earn, you'll use what you earn to meet your needs. Therefore, our jobs heavily determine a part of our financial success. We have to work to get the money, then we need to learn how to handle the money that we have earned. Now, right now, at this time here in the United States of America, the unemployment rate is 3.7%, which, so you know, is extremely low. It's the lowest rate since 1953. In 1982, many years back, the unemployment rate was 10.8%. Now, in 1953, the unemployment rate was 2.5%. So the basic belief would be, if somebody wanted a job in this day and age, they will have a job in this day and age. A portion of the 3.7% of the people that don't have a job probably don't want a job, okay? Because there's work out there, all right? The unemployment rate in other countries can be extremely high. We should be grateful that we live in the United States of America. Let me give you some of the current unemployment rates as of this quarter around the world. In South Africa, the unemployment rate is 27.6%. That means a little over one out of every four people do not have work. In Spain, the unemployment rate is 14.7%. In Turkey, the unemployment rate is 14.1%. In Brazil, it's 12.3%. In Argentina, it's 10.10%. In Italy, it's 9.9%. And I hope that we as Christians would realize this. If you have a job, it's a gift from God. See, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven or from God. And so, God gives us work. Now, I don't think we should ever let that job or that work keep us away from God, His church, or His purposes in our life. I don't think God ever intended to give us a gift and then that gift keep us away from Him. So, I think it's a blessing from God to have a job. Now, I'm going to talk about employment and our finances. This lesson will get simpler and simpler as the night passes through. But if you'll listen, there's some of you, I'll say something to you, and maybe you've never heard of it. Oh, there's most of you. You're going to say, I knew all of that before. And I don't know that there's anything new under the sun. And I'm not sure we need anything new. I think we just need to revisit the old and do what works and obey the basic principles of success. But we're going to talk about jobs, job opportunities, because they so deeply influence our finances. Number one, the Bible says if a man will not work, he should not eat. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now, what's it talking about? It's not talking about someone that's crippled. It's not talking about someone that's 3 years of age. But it is certainly talking about somebody that is capable of working. And God is saying, if someone is capable of working and they don't work, then he's trying to say that they shouldn't eat. Now, you say, what does God hate people? Not at all. God is the master lover. He's trying to tell people, work. That's the whole purpose of it. He's saying, get a job and work. But remember, the Bible teaches if a man will not work, he should not eat. Number two, when a man has the opportunity to work, then he should be a hard worker. He should be a hard worker. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 23, it tells us that whatsoever we do, we should do heartily as to the Lord. Now, I'm not going to go into that verse a whole lot. I just mentioned it last Sunday in the Sunday morning sermon, but let me tell you this. It says here, we're to work as unto the Lord. Here's one of the big mistakes that people make at work. You think you're working for your boss. And you're not. You're working for the Lord. And your boss is merely a middleman. So when you cheat your boss, you're cheating your reputation with God. There are people in here, you will fail at work because your attitude is bad toward your earthly boss. You should have been working as hard as you can because God's the real supervisor. You and I represent the God of the universe. So you say, I don't like my boss. That's okay. You like your God? He gave you the job. And you say, well, my benefits aren't right at work. Your benefit is you're not going to die and go to hell someday, buddy. You might want to stop and appreciate that and work real hard. You are a Christian and you are a representative of Jesus Christ. And when you go to work, you're to work so that you make God look good. You're to make God look good. So, when a man has the opportunity to work, and ladies, I mean you too, when a man or a lady has an opportunity to work, they should work hard. I believe this. Not in a competitive spirit. We should not be outworked by the lost. It shouldn't be the lost people are the hardest workers at your shop, at your office. Us Christians should be. Why? Well, we represent God. God doesn't deserve that we tamper with the Christian reputation. Now, so you know, all this has to do with your finances. I'm just sure of it. We are to work hard. Why? Hard work is going to affect your finances. You say, but my boss isn't smart enough to give me a raise. But God is. God is. God's the one that wrote this. God's the one that rewards. Your rewards come from God. So, when a man, a lady, has the opportunity to work, they should work hard. Number three, Never be quick in making decisions concerning job changes. Never be quick in making decisions concerning job changes. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 29 says, "He that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." That word folly almost sounds like the word fool, foolishness. That's a part of it. Here's talking about being hasty in your spirit. Listen, everybody here that works out there in that world, there's going to be a day when you're going to say to yourself, "I am quitting. I'm walking out of here." Could I recommend something? Think it inside. Don't let it outside. Hang on. Go hide in the locker room. Go lock yourself in your car. But you might want to keep your job till you calm down. I've watched a lot of hasty, out of control people blow it because they give up their job because they were emotional. That emotional outburst won't pay your bills when they come due at the end of the month. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. So don't be quick in making decisions concerning job changes. Haste in that area could result in wasted opportunity. Quickly changing jobs can be a very, very wrong thing to do. You say, "I've got the break of a lifetime, the opportunity of a lifetime." Well, if it really is the opportunity of a lifetime, you probably have a few hours to pray about it and think about it. Just be careful. People become hasty in making job changes, and many have regretted that haste. All right? Number four, pay and benefits are not the only basis by which to make a decision about a job opportunity. Let me say it again. Pay and benefits are not the only basis by which to make a decision about an opportunity. Do you know that there are other things that could be a big deal? You know, sometimes people say, "Wow, I'm going to make $25 an hour, $30 an hour, $35 an hour," and you're very impressed with that. But let me explain. There's more to it than how much you make an hour. There's more affected. We are a little money blind. People get all enamored by money. Money never has made anybody happy, and it never will. You're not made happy by what you have. You're made happy by what you are. Get that. You're not made happy by what you have. You're made happy by what you are. There's some of you, you're very unhappy with what you have, but somebody else would be thrilled to death with it. So it's not on the basis of what you have. It's on the basis of your character and your self-satisfaction and the lack of covetousness in your life. But I go back to pay and benefits are not the only basis by which to make a decision about an opportunity. Travel time might be important. The distance between home and work could be very, very important. I happen to believe church attendance ought to be calculated into this thing. Do you know that you could take a job and get a bump up in pay, $1 an hour, and when you go in the first day, they have you go ahead and buy the $5,000 worth of tools that you need to be able to function at work? You might have kept your other job and made a dollar less on the hour. So, see, pay and benefits don't make the whole decision. There's other moving parts. There's church attendance. There's distance, the amount of time that's got to be invested. What kind of investment does it take on your part? Is there more training that's necessary? And so there's training that's got to come out of your pocket and the funds to make it all happen. That's why you don't hastily make a decision. Now, if an employer wanted to bait us, they would throw the cash out there, but then they don't tell you the other things. It's like the small print on your credit card. You need to be careful. Let me go on. Number five, a person should determine if their health will accommodate the job opportunity. I think you need to determine if your health will accommodate the job opportunity. Be careful taking a job that your body won't let you succeed at. I think you're just setting yourself up for failure. Now, look. If you've had 10 back surgeries in the last 3 weeks, it's probably not a good idea for you to take a job next week digging ditches. But be reasonable. Be sensible. Now, look, if you don't have fingers, you're not going to be able to count pennies down at the bank. if you're blind, you shouldn't be operating chainsaws, right, Brother Anthony? It's probably a dumb thing. That's probably how you got blind. But be sensible. You take a job. You say, why? You are to succeed at that job. I know there's somebody in here, you're going to get mad at me. It's not all about what you get out of it. That is not the way Christians think. It's what you put into it. You say, I'll try to sneak in there and they'll give me all sorts of benefits and pay me all sorts of money and I can't do it and I already know I can't do it. Is that Christianity? Isn't Christianity going there and pleasing the boss and showing them what Christianity is and succeeding? I think that when Daniel was working his way through the ranks when he was in captivity, he wasn't trying to fake his way into a bunch of benefits. I think he was somebody and he proved it to everybody what God is and what God can do. I know that might seem a little odd to you, but I would just say, you need to determine if your health will accommodate the expectation and be honest with yourself and with them. Let me go on. Number six. I think married people who are considering job opportunities should be in agreement with one another concerning those opportunities. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 24 speaks of a husband and wife becoming one flesh. So that means this. I think if a man's going to take a job, he and his wife ought to talk it over. I think they ought to pray about it. I think they ought to enter that together. I think if a lady's going to have some type of a job, if it's a part-time job or whatever it is, I think the husband and wife ought to talk it over. I think it ought to be discussed between the two of them. Again, I'll seem like an oddball, but in this day and age, it's every man for himself. You know, women have their checkbook here and men have their checkbook here and she's got her job here and he's got his job here and they're not one flesh. They're two people that are living in the same household, but they're not unified. Well, I think with a job, a husband and wife, I think they ought to be unified. I think they ought to be unified about everything. But God calls it being one flesh. So I think if married people are considering jobs, it ought to be discussed. Now, you say, well, what's the big deal about this? Well, I'll tell you what. If she doesn't like it or he doesn't like it, it could affect you. You say, how so? How would that affect my finances? Well, a divorce will cost you. You say, are you joking? Do I look like I'm joking? I couldn't tell you how many job situations have destroyed marriages. And so husbands and wives need to work together on this. It's not a competitive thing. They work together on it. You keep peace and unity and harmony in the home. Let me go on. Number seven. It's very unwise to take a job opportunity that will take you away from your family too much. It's very unwise to take a job opportunity that will take you away from your family too much. And now, what am I talking about? I'll give you an extreme example. I was counseling a man. He was enamored with the job. And this is 10 years ago, enamored with the job. Lots of money. And I told him, I said, Doc, he said, preacher, I've got to travel for 4 months and then I'm home for two. And I travel for 4 months and I'm home for two. He said, I'm going to make a lot of money. He said, I've dreamed of doing something like this. I said, sir, you have a wife and children. I said, it's not like you're going to the military. You, that's not what you're doing here. He took the job. And 9 months later, she took the kids. And she said, I'm not living this way. I am a married widow. Now, I mean, this might be hard for you all to understand. Your marriage and your family is a big deal. I would rather be poor and have my wife and kids than to be rich and lose my family. And people don't think like that anymore. Your wife is important and your kids are important and your husband is important. Please keep that in mind. So I just say be careful taking a job that takes you away from your family too much. Number eight. Before accepting a job or changing jobs, I would recommend that you research the job opportunity. In other words, you research the potential employer. Say, research them? Uh-huh. they're going to research you. Why? They want to know if you're a flunky. He says, is that why I didn't get the job? Oh, I don't know. Maybe it was halitosis. But they are going to research you. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 2, verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to see life through the eyes of God. Hey, look past the flashy lights of the opportunity and look at the whole picture. You say, well, what kind of things? You might research and see if there are annual layoffs. And in many businesses, there are. They do well 9 months out of the year, and then there's 3 months, and they call it feast or famine. That happens. Sometimes you can find out if contracts are coming up soon. I got to tell you, I went off to Bible college. I was so excited. I got this job. Now, you have to understand, I went off to Bible college in 1978. I know. Yeah, you think that was a million years ago. And I landed a job at a company. And you, in 1978, if you were making $21 an hour, it was a big whopping deal. 21 bucks an hour. I walked in. I said, wow, $21 an hour to start. And I turned some other jobs down. I took that job. I worked viciously, because they said, you work hard, you're going to get raises, you work hard, and whew, buddy, I was at it, because I thought, to start at 21, there's no telling where I'm going to be when I finished. I worked like that for 1 month, night and day. And at the end of the month, they called everybody together and said, you are all hired because we were closing the plant and we needed someone to help us to clean it up and to shore it up before we shut it down. Take your toolboxes at the end of the night and you're done. You won't be back on Monday. It was a bummer walk to the parking lot after work that night. But you know, that was public knowledge. I was just naive, in a hurry, and enamored with $21 an hour. You know, there are ways of knowing. Their contract was up and it was over. It was a trucking company. I won't tell you the name of it. I want to, but I'm not going to. Hey, are there frequent shutdowns? Just watch. You know, there are companies that they have a constant turnover. Just constant. Now, you understand that if there's a constant turnover, you might become a part of that turnover. Right. You might want to just glance at something like that. Okay? So I said, number 8, before accepting a job or changing jobs, research the place or the opportunity. Number 9, it's always appropriate for an employee to turn in a 2-week notice. It's appropriate to give a 2-week notice. 1 Peter 2:17 talks about honoring all men, and it has to do with respect. Now, let me explain to you why. Now, here's what happens in this day and age. It's too bad our society is what it is. Many times you turn in a 2-week notice today and they'll tell you that you don't need to work out your 2-week notice. Just go ahead and go. You say, why would they do that? They're scared of vandalism and all sorts of things. And that's sad. It's sad that we live in that day. But one of the reasons you want to turn in a 2-week notice, it gives your boss time to find someone to replace you. And by the way, the person, let's say you're changing jobs. If I found out that you just walked off on your last employer and I'm about to hire you, I'm wondering when you're going to just come in and walk off on me. Now, if I give you a 2-week notice and you say to me, I will not need you for those 2 weeks, okay, I did my part. And I would hope that none of us would be the cause of them wanting to shuffle us out the door because they're afraid we're going to vandalize or steal something in the last 2 weeks. But that's so often why they don't let you work out the 2 weeks. Plus, they don't want you in there being negative and gossiping and backbiting and telling everybody how bad the place is. Now, it was good when they paid you all that money, but now it's suddenly bad. They don't want all that. They don't want you to ruin the spirit. They don't want you to ruin the attitude of the place. But it shouldn't be the case that any Christians are that way. You ought to be thanking God for the job, and yet shouldn't be going around talking bad anyway. But I think a 2-week notice is very appropriate, even if they don't require it. Why? That sends a good signal to the next employer. Let's go on. Number 10. It's often a good idea to consider whether the place of opportunity is a place of advancement. If you're looking for a job, it's great if you take a job where there is advancement. In other words, promotion available. The Bible says in Psalm 75, verse number 67, promotion comes from God. Now, I have to tell you something. If you took a job at the top and you're a person that likes to achieve, I just want you to know being at the top is not real fulfilling if there's no way for you to move up. There's something, you know, I think for people with character, it's not where they're at. It's getting there that's the thrill. There's something about the climb. There's something about the achievement. So if a small company offered me a job at the top or a large company offered me a job mid-range, I'm liable to take the mid-range big company opportunity because I can climb from there. And that climbing grows me. It pulls something out of me. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I'm just telling you, opportunity and advancement is kind of important to those of us that thrive. We want to move forward. If not, you may be bored with your job. And that boredom will cause you to want to give up your job. If you give up your job, you don't have money. If you don't have money, you can't pay your bills. If you can't pay your bills, you won't tithe. So make sure you keep your job. Okay. Let me go on. Number 11. You should be careful going to a new job if you're running from relationship problems at your current job. You should be careful going to a new job if you're running from relationship problems at your current job. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, it says this, "It is an honor for men to cease from strife." Let me explain something. If you can't get along with everybody at work where you're at, and you change jobs, you may be taking your problem with you. Don't run from all people problems. Solve them. Learn to solve them. Learn how to get along with people. Look, learn how to get along with the company jerk. That's what they're doing with you. Learn how to get along with fickle people. Learn how to get along with difficult people. I could tell you a story, and there's only one person here that could even guess who I'm talking about. I had a man underneath me, and he changed jobs about every 8 months. And he called about 8 or 9 months into the thing, and he said, "I'd like to have coffee with you. Let's go down there to Burger King." We'd go to Burger King, and I knew he's getting ready to tell me there's somebody down at the shop that they're just impossible to get along with. About 8 or 9 of these. I'm thinking, good gravy, stop and smell the coffee, buddy. The problem is not that guy. Now listen, if everywhere you go and everywhere you work, nobody can be peaceful and you can't get along with anybody, is there a common denominator here? Okay, let's move on. Number 12. If somebody struggles with personal character in the area of finances and organization, it might be best you don't start a business, but you work for somebody else. If you struggle with personal character issues like organization and your own finances, you might want to be careful starting your own business. You might want to work for somebody else. And I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. And by the way, I'm not counseling anybody. If you want counsel about a job opportunity, let's talk eyeball to eyeball. But I am telling you this. If you can't handle your own personal checkbook and you can't get your life even partially organized, you might not want to start a business. Because business organization and finances can be quite complex. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28 says, "But let a man examine himself." I've had many, many men come to me about starting businesses. And I know men that can make all sorts of money, but they can't keep themselves organized. And as a result of it, their money-making ability was stymied by their lack of organization. Matter of fact, men that could have been multimillionaires because they wouldn't do the simple thing of paying their taxes ended up in a lot of trouble, and they would have been better off just working for somebody else. So, look, if you don't show up for work on time where you work now, you want to be the boss? Think through it. If you can't pay your piddly little bills just for your household, but you're going to run a corporation and become a multimillionaire, so you say, preacher, what should I do? Get your house in order, learn all those things, become consistent with your finances, then go start your business. That might work better. If not, you might have... I know a man to this very day that could not handle his own finances. He launched a business. He went in a lot of debt. 20 years later, he's still paying off the original business debt by working for somebody else. If he would have gotten it together in the first place, he could have launched later, but he didn't have it together personally. And success complicates things. It doesn't make it simpler. Let me go on. Number 13. It's dangerous to go into business with other Christians. You say, what? Yeah, it's just dangerous to go into business with other Christians. And all I'm going to say about it is this. Two brothers can love each other dearly, go into business, and when there's a financial challenge, they will hate each other. I've watched it happen over and over and over again. I think one of the most successful ways, if you want to go into business with Christian, go into business with your son. But I will tell you this, if two Christians go into business together, it should never come between their Christianity. They shouldn't stop coming to church. They shouldn't. But boy, have I seen it happen a lot. I've just seen it happen a lot. Let me go on. Number 14. I think we should all strive to get employment where we can be as faithful to church as possible. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, everybody's going to have maybe a little different approach to it, but I will tell you this. If you listen to the scripture, it says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. And it's not talking about you can't work on Sunday. This shouldn't be a routine. But listen, just be careful taking a job where you can never go to church. I know people that are of very high character. And they believe in paying their bills and they believe in working hard. But they miss something. They should be applying that character to their church attendance as well as their attendance at work, but they don't. You just be careful. If you can get a job where you can be faithful to church, I highly recommend it. I don't think you'll go wrong by doing that. Number 15. Never should you take a job opportunity where you will sell alcohol or pornography. You say, why? Well, Romans 13:4 says, if thou do that which is evil, you should be afraid. There are some things that you and I should not earn a living at. And I think alcohol and I think pornography are a couple of them. Let me go on. Number 16. It's very unwise to associate yourself with a place of employment that takes advantage of the poor or the elderly. It is very unwise to associate yourself with a place of employment that is known for taking advantage of the poor or the elderly. And that's because Proverbs 14:31 says, "He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker." Let me read it again. "He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker." So, you want to make sure that you don't take a job where you're taking advantage of poor people or you're taking advantage of elderly people. Why? Because actually, in all reality, the Bible's teaching, God's going to put a curse on your finances. God doesn't want to put up with people that abuse poor people. He looks very dimly on that. And we do too as Christians. We should. Let me go on. Number 17. Lazy people are always looking for a reason why they should not take the job. Why they should not take the job. You know, Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 4 says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand." There's another verse in the Bible that talks about a lazy person or the sluggard, and he says, "I can't go out in the street because there might be a lion out there. I can't go look for work because I might get hurt while I'm looking for work." Now, let me make something clear to you. There's a portion of the unemployment rate in America that is the result of people that don't want a job. They just don't want a job. So don't be like that. And if you listen to me at the beginning of this lesson, I told you, I said, I'm not talking about little children. I'm not talking about people that have true physical, deficiencies and crippled and they can't. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about able-bodied people. If they can get a job, they need to get a job. You say, well, I wonder if it doesn't pay as much as what I want. I don't know. I'm not sure I ever had one that paid as much as I want. And if it did, it only took me about 3 weeks to want more. I know this doesn't sound like much, but I can remember wanting $5 an hour so desperately. My very first job where I got a paycheck. Now, I delivered newspapers and I raked yards and I collected pop bottles. Y'all understand what it means to collect pop bottles? I collected pop bottles. But when I got hired at Tipple's Ace Hardware in Winchester, Indiana, and I got my very first paycheck, and I was making $5.17 an hour, I thought, here I come. King Tut, buddy. I'm bringing down the big bucks. I could not believe it. But it only took about 2 months. I said, if I was only making $6 an hour. And then I made six. I said, if I could only make seven. I made seven, but I wanted eight, and I made eight, and I wanted nine, and I made ten, and I made $50 and $60 an hour. But money doesn't satisfy. It does not satisfy. No matter how much you get, you want more. And so, now, be careful. Those of you that are able-bodied, and you can work, God expects you to. You're to carry your weight. Now, not everybody can do what somebody else can do. There are people that they cannot physically go out and get a job. But they ought to work around the house what they can. But wait, then there are some that might just have to get a part-time job because of their health. Now, some people can have a full-time job. And there's some people that can run big, heavy equipment because their health will let that happen. And yet there are others that have to be very careful what they do. But we're all to work. We're to work. Even children are to work. Parents, if you hand everything to your kids, the rest of us will be paying their way later on in life when they won't pay their way. And they'll demand that we pay for their stuff. So now, one last thing I want to tell you this. And this is point number 18. Don't let a job choose your church. Let the availability of a good church choose your job. I've watched people pack up all their things, move somewhere for a job, and there was not an independent fundamental Baptist church for them to attend. I have a difficult time thinking that that's the way God would have wanted it. You say, is that ever a good idea? Uh-huh. If you're starting a church. But if you're not, the Bible commands that you go to church. And you go to the right kind of a church. So I'll make the statement and then I'll be done. Don't let a job choose your church. Let the availability of a good church choose your job. And you may, again, you might think I'm nuts, but I've thought through what I'm saying, and I'm pretty sure that's good advice. So we're talking about employment and our finances. Remember, we work, we get money. That's how we're going to pay our bills. And so one of the foundational needs when it comes to finances is getting the money. And since we know from a prior lesson we're not to steal it, then we're going to have to earn it. And so your job is a means to accomplish the opportunity to serve God. So take your job seriously. Take job changes seriously. Take it all seriously. It's going to help you financially.